How do we get the pro-life message out? We'll explore time-tested methods next on Gospel of Life. Hello, I'm Reverend Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. I'm joined by Janet Marana, our Associate Director, and today we want to call you to the streets. Janet, we get the pro-life message out in so many different ways, this program included. But I always remember Bob Lanvo, a mutual friend of ours from Staten Island, New York. We were picketing out on the streets regularly against abortion, and one day he came up to me and said, Father Frank, our media is the streets.
That's right. Yeah, he literally was standing there. I remember we were outside a doctor's office who performed abortions on Staten Island, and we had our signs. And he literally pointed at the sidewalk and said, see, Father, this is it. This is our media, the streets. And we know why he said that, because we would publish, sending letters to the editor about the local doctors doing abortions on Staten Island, trying to raise awareness. But we wouldn't get much word out in the newspapers. So Bob was very correct that we have to bring our message out to the streets in the public square in order to show people what we're talking about, the damage abortion's doing to society.
And it really is our media. It belongs to us as taxpayers, and under the First Amendment, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly. Right. We have the right. Our founding fathers have given us this forum so that anybody, no matter how rich or how poor, how strong or how weak, how popular or how unknown, can go out into this public forum and preach any kind of message. And the First Amendment, freedom of speech and freedom of assembly, guarantees that no matter how unpopular that message might be, we still have access to that forum in order to spread it. That's the beauty of fighting this battle in this particular country.
Well, I know recently, Father, you did a good teaching on this very subject where we have all kinds of examples of activities that both of us have participated in.
And that the pro-life movement is doing across the world.
That's
so
right.
Now, brothers and sisters, let's consider why and how our media is the streets. It was the summer of 1993, a vast crowd of young people from all over the world. And Pope John Paul II said these words to them. Do not be afraid to go out on the streets and into public places like the first apostles who preached Christ and the good news of salvation in the squares of cities, towns, and villages. Brothers and sisters, not only was it the practice of those first apostles, but it has been the practice of men and women and children and people of movements all across the world. When they have had to fight against various forms of injustice or convey various urgent messages, that they have taken to the streets in organized and peaceful ways. And that is what we are urging today as an appropriate response to the ongoing tragedy of abortion. In fact, the pro-life movement has utilized this method, this natural human response, to take to the streets in the public places so that they could reach as many of their neighbors as possible with an urgent, urgent message. Today I want to talk to you about presence in the streets. In fact, as one pro-life activist said to me years ago, Father Frank, our media is the streets because we don't have the same kind of access to major media that our message deserves, or that those who have the money or the political influence have access. We're blessed to be able to have this television program, this radio program to bring to you. But brothers and sisters, not everybody hears these programs. Most people don't. And so we need to reach them in immediate and direct ways. That's why of the various different kinds of presence I want to outline for you today, it's so important that we take advantage of our rights to be out in the public. Bypassing the gatekeepers of media, those who would want to keep the pro-life message off of the airwaves, is one of the advantages that we have when we go immediately to the public. Another reason is that it awakens the community. When people see a group of individuals gathered on a street corner, the first question that comes to mind is, what's wrong? What's happening? What's going on over there?
You see, abortion is a double tragedy. First of all, it happens, but the other aspect of the tragedy is that while it happens, life goes on business as usual for so many people. We go past the places where the killing is going on, not even realizing that babies are being killed. We go about our business, and we might go out onto the sidewalk and say, gee, it's a beautiful day here. Things are relatively quiet. Everybody seems to be peaceful. Things must be okay. And yet in the prophet Jeremiah, we read that the false prophet said, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And as long as human bodies are being torn apart and children's lives are being taken by abortion and innocent blood being shed, there's no peace in our communities. By coming out into the streets in great numbers, we awaken the community to know that things are not what they should be. A hidden injustice is made visible by the presence of those of us who care, coming out in organized ways to draw people's attention to the problem. And what this does is it breaks denial. People know that abortion is happening, that it's going on, that it's probably going on within their own cities, but they don't want to think about it. By us coming out into the public squares and places where people can see us, we break that process of denial. We force people to think about an issue that they would prefer to put in some back corner of their minds. But the issue is not going to get dealt with unless somebody says, we've got to think about it, we've got to talk about it, and we've got to do so now. Another advantage of coming out publicly in some of the ways that we're going to describe today is that it actually saves lives. Abortion is a local problem. Yes, Congress has to do something and the Supreme Court as well is involved, but abortions are not taking place in the halls of Congress or of the Supreme Court. They're taking place down the street from where you and I live. And so for us to come out onto those streets and to call attention to the problem actually does result in the saving of lives. People may be on their way to that abortion facility or talking with a friend later in the day who's going to go to that abortion facility. And because they saw us out there on the streets, it may give them exactly the sign they need or the courage they have to find to do the right thing. Finally, by coming out onto the streets, we encourage ourselves, because when we express a conviction publicly, that conviction grows deeper in our own soul. And when we stand out publicly and stand up for what is right, and we see others doing so, we are encouraging one another, and we're encouraging the many people who pass by and who share those same convictions and are consoled to know that somebody in their community is saying something about it. There are so many different ways in which we come out onto the streets to proclaim the pro-life message. First of all, we have marches, and many people are familiar with the March for Life that takes place in Washington every January 22nd, the sad commemoration of the Supreme Court's Roe v. Wade decision that legalized abortion. But it's not only in Washington that these marches happen. Great crowds of people walking through the streets of our cities. These marches are taking place in San Francisco and in all the states throughout the country, not only on the anniversary of Roe versus Wade, but at various other times during the year. And a march is a great symbol of what this movement is, because people march towards justice and march towards equality and march towards liberation and march towards freedom. The march is a symbol of our lives. Each step we take on the march is a symbol of the actions and the commitments and the sacrifices we make in order to get to the place where we aren't yet, but where we should be, a place that ensures justice, equality, and protection for the rights of every human being. So marches are marvelous activities. They really strengthen our spirit, and the gathering of great crowds is a sign to the government and to the media and to our fellow citizens that there are a lot of people concerned about this problem. Outdoor rallies are events closely connected with marches, when the people who are about to march or who have just marched stand together in one place in order to hear exhortations and talks and to say prayers and to sing songs that, again, renew their spirits and their motivation to continue fighting these battles. Another form of presence in these streets is life change. A life chain is something that happens on a particular Sunday at the beginning of October, the first Sunday of October, all throughout the country. But also at other times of the year, in fact, it can be done as often as a community wants to do it. And people stand along a busy street holding signs that say various things. Some of the signs say abortion kills children. Others say abortion hurts women. Others say Jesus forgives and heals. And yet others say adoption, the loving option. Beautiful messages that need to be conveyed to people, not because they're looking for that message, but simply because by going out into the public street, we're encountering them where they are. And that might be the only pro-life message they hear for any amount of time. Face the Truth tours are similar, not holding the life chain signs, but rather holding pictures of what abortion actually does to a baby. Face the Truth have been very, very fruitful activities in various parts of our country. And the tours are organized in such a way that people see, as they drive by, pictures first of the developing baby and then of what abortion does to that baby. Because those are two distinct messages. It's one thing to know that the baby in the womb is a baby. But one can know that while still being ignorant about what abortion does to the baby. Abortion doesn't just make the baby disappear. Abortion is an act of violence that tears that baby to pieces, and that violence must be exposed. Face the Truth is a marvelous way of exposing it. Prayer vigils, held particularly at the places where the killing is going on, are another very effective way of presence. Particularly, the Helpers of God's Precious Infants is a movement worldwide that has developed a method of prayer vigils that have proven very effective in attracting large numbers of people to go to the places where the killing is happening. The people begin by gathering in their church, praying familiar prayers, and then in fact processing with the police. So the police are fully informed and cooperative, and together with the police and with their religious leaders of the people, go to the place of the killing. Once they're there, there are no surprises. Again, they engage in familiar prayer activities, while other people undertake counseling of the men and women going into the facility. When the prayers are finished, the people then process back, continuing in prayer, to their churches. A different kind of activity that takes place also at the killing centers is picketing. And this would be characteristically a smaller group of people who are walking back and forth in protest of what is going on at that particular facility. And you know, Christians are people who protest evil as well as stand up for good. It's two sides of the same coin. If we say yes to good, we have to say no to evil. And by picketing, we bring pressure on the facilities to stop what they're doing. We bring pressure also on the local community in various different ways. Sometimes we can picket businesses that support abortions, hospitals that do abortions, and also even the residences of those who are doing the killing, a very, very effective means. Sidewalk counseling is yet another activity where people actually will encounter and talk to the women or men going into the facility to have their child killed. And sidewalk counseling is an opportunity to offer to those individuals information about the abortion that they're not likely to get inside, and alternatives, life-giving ways of solving the problem that, sadly, they feel the only way to solve is by killing their child. Rescues, these are activities where people actually will block the doors of the facility where the children are going to be killed, peacefully putting their bodies in between the babies and the instruments of killing. Although when people do such activity, they're likely to be arrested and forcibly removed from the premises, nevertheless, their presence there buys time, whereby then the sidewalk counselors can come in and urge the women not to have their children killed. Literature distribution is another time-honored technique whereby we go out into the streets to distribute materials to those who otherwise would not have the information they need about abortion and about the pro-life message. A similar activity is a teach-in where people will gather in a public place on the street or in a park, and someone will get up and begin teaching them the truth about abortion. And finally, brothers and sisters, there are many other types of activities in the form of parades and mobile pregnancy units, for example, that will go through the streets or stop at various places and offer information about pro-life. These and so many other activities are bearing fruit. Now, all of this activity is perfectly legal, with the exception, of course, of the trespass activity that rescues require when we're actually intervening to save a life. But when we're talking about all these other methods of gathering and protesting and handing out literature, speaking in public, we're talking about legal activity. We have every right to do it. The Constitution protects it. And most importantly, it saves lives. It saves lives like the life of Guadalupe, whom we've had on previous programs. I was out with a group of people in front of an abortion facility in Orlando, Florida. Her mom was already inside in the waiting room, and when she looked out the window, she saw me and the other people standing there, and she thought to herself, these people could be doing something else today. They're here because they care about me and my baby. If they care so much, maybe I should care a little bit more. And she saw the signs that we had which said, help is available. You see, because we're there not only to convey a message, we're there to save a life, to intervene and to give hope where there is despair. She came out. Our presence there gave her the strength to come out before we even said a word. And she came over to us, and we told her we could help. And she said, I'm sorry that I even went in there. And I said to her, now the only thing you have to think about is being a good mother. You made the right choice by coming out. And we did help her. And now that baby has grown into a young girl who someday wants to become a doctor who helps babies. Many, many other stories that we will share with you on future programs prove that it works. When we come out, when we just make ourselves available to God and to people who need to hear the truth, God will touch their hearts with that truth. Brothers and sisters, let's not worry so much about who's sitting in the White House as we worry about the fact that we're sitting in our house. Let's get up. Let's get out. Let's bring this message to the public. Well, friends, the reason we've brought you this program and this information is so that you can do it. Right, Janet? This program is not successful unless people start contacting us and telling us, you know what, I joined my local picketing group, or I learned how to be a sidewalk counselor, or I participated in a march for the first time in my life. That's what we want to hear as a result of this program.
That's right. And, you know, in come the fall, there's life change usually all over. If there's none in your community, here we kind of gave you the recipe. You can start a life change. We'll help you, exactly.
Our staff is standing by ready to assist anyone who wants to initiate these activities or to find where there are already activities going on near them that they can join in on.
That's right. And we can also put them in contact with folks that will get them the signs available and any tools they need to get out there and do it.
Well, I gave the example of Guadalupe there at the end, but there's so many other examples. I remember a brother out west who used to pray in front of an abortion mill all the time, a single man, and was out there for years and years and years, and then he moved away. The abortionist tracked him down, sent him a letter, and said, I want you to know I stopped doing abortions. And that your results and your witness paid off in your prayers as well. So it works.
That's right. Babies are saved by your witness.
Thanks, Janet. And thank you, brothers and sisters. Now learn about how you can support our ministry.
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. In the last 12 years, half of the nation's freestanding abortion clinics have closed, and the abortion industry is on the run. Gospel of Life Ministries has played a vital role in the rescue of countless children and is currently in place to save thousands more. But we urgently need your support to make this happen. Not everyone can be on the front line of this battle, but when you support Gospel of Life, you are saving lives. Your life-saving gift of $25, $50, or $100 will help us provide alternatives to women who think they have no choice but abortion. And for those countless women who have lost children to abortion, Gospel of Life Ministries will help them find forgiveness, healing, and peace in the cross of Christ and become outspoken advocates for the lives of their unborn children. The help you provide will also bring the saving word of life to churches through a training program that is raising a mass voice that will see abortion stopped. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the powerful booklet called Pro-Life Answers. This will equip you to answer any argument that abortion supporters throw your way. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD of the Silent No More awareness campaign. You will watch the testimonies of women and men who have lost children to abortion, but who have found healing through the blood of Christ and have proclaimed that healing on the public streets of America. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll include an autographed copy of Father Frank Pavone's book, Ending Abortion, Not Just Fighting It. This book will provide numerous insights into the pro-life cause, such as those you learn on these programs. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Welcome to our action segment, and Janet, today we're going to talk about using some very powerful tools to convince people of how devastating abortion is.
Well, as you know, Father, I co-founded the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, where the women and men who have experienced abortion speak publicly about their abortions, and they've written their testimonies. Now, we have those testimonies. I think it's the largest collection of post-abortion testimonies on our website. We have them in written form. We have audio and video clips. Now, in giving their testimonies, you know, the men and women that do this, one of their hopes is that people will use their testimonies to help maybe to stop another girl from going down that road to have an abortion, to help maybe another person who's in denial to come to healing, and then finally to help convert people who somehow think abortion is okay for women.
So these testimonies that have been gathered and posted on our website, as you just said, are available for anyone to use in the pro-life cause. They don't even have to ask our permission to copy those texts or to email links to those files. These women who and men who have given these testimonies have already given us full permission.
The permission's already been granted by the virtue of the fact that we have it posted up there. But now I want people to think creatively. You know, these people have had the courage to share their stories. But now how can you use their stories to help? Okay, first of all, in letters to the editor, you can quote from
quote them.
You know, in students that are doing papers, you know, very often you're defending the case that abortion is wrong because it hurts people. You know, it kills the baby. But why not bring in another aspect why abortion is wrong? It's damaging men and women and families. And then you can quote from these testimonies.
It's so powerful to bring in the testimony in that instance, because now We're not just making an assertion. We're quoting someone's experience, and it's very, very difficult for even pro-abortion people to contradict a woman's experience with this.
That's right. Well, like we said, you know, experience trumps rhetoric. It's very often to talk about abortion rhetoric, you know, but it's the people who've experienced who are really going to help. Then in addition, when you have your pro-life discussions, you know, read enough of these testimonies that you can jot down some quick facts so that if you're in a discussion with someone, you can say, well, what do you know about abortion? What do you know about people's experiences? And then you can start quoting, you know, that these men and women have experienced after their abortion, abusing drugs, alcohol, becoming promiscuous, having multiple abortions. You know, you've got to take those testimonies and boil down the facts and be able to talk about them to help convert people.
Yes. Now, many people who are involved in the pro-life movement do lobbying at one point or another, where they're talking to lawmakers. Using these testimonies in those circumstances can be very useful as well. Let's say, for example, a law on informed consent is being considered. Well, showing the testimony of somebody who says that she had grief and regret precisely because she didn't have the informed consent will be a persuasive factor in those efforts.
Yeah, as you read through the testimonies, you will see that so many of those women had said, if I had only known what I know now, I would never have had the abortion. So many of those women were told it's just a blob of tissue. And you know what's the craziest thing? That in this society now, where we have 4D ultrasound, women are still being told, oh, you're so early on right now. You know, it's just you're barely pregnant, as they put it. It's just really a clump of cells. Clump of cells is the other term they like to use. So again, you can really cut through all these myths by quoting those testimonies.
And pastors to quote these testimonies in their sermons. What a marvelous way to bring their people to not only a deeper appreciation of how harmful abortion is, but to a deeper compassion for these men and women who have lost children.
That's right. You know, and then also, if you know someone who's had an abortion, who's gone through healing, and they want to share their testimony, encourage them to contact us at the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, because we constantly want to add to those testimonies and also make them available to as people who might want to speak in a church. You know, nothing is more powerful, and we know this from the women who've done it, is to come into a church if the minister gives permission and give that testimony in this pulpit.
Yes. Well, thanks, Janet. And brothers and sisters, you can provide links from your own websites to the pages where we have these testimonies. You can download and email those testimonies. Use them in any and every way you can to get out the truth that abortion harms women, harms families, harms our entire society, harms us all. But also use those testimonies to proclaim the mercy and the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's what shines through amidst all the despair, amidst all the damage. The healing power of our Lord shines through. Let's use these testimonies always.
Not until people saw images of children in coal mines did they enact child labor laws. Not until people saw images of human torture did they rise up against slavery. And now, after seeing these images, what will you do? Priests for Life, because America will never reject abortion unless America sees abortion. Call now to learn how you can help.
When I found out I was pregnant, I thought I would lose my job.
My boyfriend told me to choose between him and the baby.
I was already struggling to care for one child, so I had an abortion.
I had trouble conceiving again.
I tried to commit suicide.
I started to have nightmares. You see, abortion didn't solve our problems.
It just created different ones.
That's why we are Silent No More.
We found help in healing, and you can too. Call or go online today.
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the powerful booklet called Pro-Life Answers. This will equip you to answer any argument that abortion supporters throw your way. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD of the Silent No More Awareness Campaign. You will watch the testimonies of women and men who have lost children to abortion, but who have found healing through the blood of Christ and have proclaimed that healing on the public streets of America. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll include an autographed copy of Father Frank Pavone's book, Ending Abortion, Not Just Fighting It. This book will provide numerous insights into the pro-life cause, such as those you learn on these programs. Please call, write, or make your gift online today. The Gospel of Life program is made possible by the supporters of Gospel of Life Ministries and Priests for Life. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of stopping abortion and providing post-abortion healing. Specific outreaches mentioned are examples of the programs conducted and supported. Gifts are considered to be without use restriction unless specifically stipulated by the donor.